this Chassidus Svarim. It's one of the most influential Chassidus Svarim by the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Heschel, the Rebbe of Apt, the Apter Rav. You've heard the name before, we've spoken about the Apter Rebbe, the Apter Rav, the Oiv Yisrael. The Sefer Oiv Yisrael was just reprinted, as you can see, in beautiful typeset. The old editions are very hard to read. So, Baruch Hashem, we're privileged to have the Oiv Yisrael now that was just redone. So you have it, Mamish, hot off the press. You know, this week there's Baharan B'chol Kotai, Baharan B'chol Kaisai, the two parashiyos. We're finishing Sefer Vayikra, Baruch Hashem. We're finishing Sefer Vayikra. So you all know that Bahar, there are many, many mitzvahs in Bahar, but the main mitzvahs that are elaborated upon in Bahar, Shemitah and Yovel, right? Shemitah and Yovel. And B'chol Kotai, of course, has brachas if we do things that are right, if we go in the right way in Chalila. If we don't go in the right way, then it has things that are not brachas in the parasha. As you know, B'chol Kotai is a difficult parasha. There are things in there that are very, very difficult to bear. And unfortunately, we've seen many of these things come to pass. So, okay. So you know that there are halachas about in the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Yovel, no? In the laws of Shemitah, the seventh year, in the laws of Yovel, you know that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. And each person, according to the Torah, each Jew has a chelik, has a specific portion in Eretz Yisrael. A specific chelik in Eretz Yisrael. We don't know what our chelik is right now, but every person has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says over here, if you look, which says Parshas Bahar, Ha'aris like Tamarchel, it's Misus Kili, Ha'aris Kigerim, Seishavim Atam Imadim. It doesn't say the whole pasuk. Means that Eretz Yisrael cannot be sold on a permanent basis. Can't be forever. Kili Ha'aris. So Hashem says, why not? Kili Ha'aris. What? Because it belongs to me. And then the pasuk goes on, it doesn't give the whole pasuk. He ger v'sayishavim atamimadi. What's the difference between a ger and a toshav? He ger v'sayishavim atamimadi. What's the difference between a ger and a toshav? A ger is a foreigner, more like a temporary dweller. And a toshav means a permanent dweller, a permanent settler. So Hashem calls us gerim v'sayishavim atamimadi. You are gerim and toshavim. So the after begins, and you have to pay close attention here. We're dealing with a sefer that is written in a very, very terse, very brief way. And it's a difficult sefer. So the Rebbe writes, Yeshleima b'ha'ir leiv, with an awakening of the heart. Ki ha'tayra ha'kadosha ramezes lanu kan havtacha ne'emana, she'evtiach lanu ha'barei baruchu v'ruch shamay. So the Apta says that the Torah here is telling us a trustworthy, faithful promise that Hashem has made to us. That this promise of the Torah was made to us by Hashem for us to remember during this galus, during this exile. We've spoken about this before, that Imoinechi Betzara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem descends into Golus with the Jewish people, is in Golus with us, is Shoichin Itam B'Soich Tumaisam, Hashem dwells with us in our impurity, in our Golus. So the Shechin HaKadosha, the divine presence of Hashem is also in Golus. K'mo Yishakosev, as it says in Yishayahu, Ubefisheichem Sholchayimchem, that your mother was sent out because of your sins. And where it says your mother, it's a hint to the Shechina, it's a hint to the divine presence of Hashem. Uksiv, and it says in the Pasuk, also in Yishayahu, B'chol tzarosem lo tzar, that in every tzara, in every difficulty that the Jewish people ever have, lo tzar, Loi with a vav means that Hashem also has anguish and difficulty and is in a state of anxiety, kivyachal. Hashem is also with us in our galus. When the time will arrive, the Ace Doidim, when the time will arrive where the love will be revealed between Hashem and the Jewish people, and Mashiach will come. Lahakim Ashchina Hakadoshu Lugaola Kivyachal, when it will come time for that Shechina to be, for the Shechina to be uplifted, to be raised, and to be redeemed, because the redemption of the Shechina of Hashem's divine presence depends upon the redemption of Knesset Yisrael of the Jewish people. So when that time will arrive, Azgam Isani Yigalima, then we too will be redeemed with the Shechina. We will be redeemed with Hashem's divine presence. The essence of redemption is that Kivyachal Hashem will be reunited with the Shechina HaKadosha, with the Kala, which is Knesset Yisrael, which is the Jewish people. The Jewish people embody the divine presence in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem, who Hashem is in His essence, which we don't understand, we can't understand. The Shechina, which is embodied in the Jewish people, will be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, when Mashiach comes. The Zemarum is Ba'Pasik, that is the hint in the Pasik over here, where it says in the Pasik, V'ha'aretz le'temacher le'tzmisus, V'ha'aretz. Now the word v'ha'aretz, this I have to explain for a minute, the word v'ha'aretz, the earth, api Kabbalah in Kabbalah, is a symbol of the Shechina. It's a symbol of the divine presence. Because the divine presence is identified with that koach in reality that's called Malchus. We spoke about this before, right? Malchus. Malchus means Hashem's kingdom being revealed here in this world in our lives. That's Malchus. So the earth is identified with Shechina for different reasons, not just this reason. But this is one aspect that people on our level can understand. That the earth is identified with this quality of Shechina, which is Malchus, which means Hashem's presence as it's revealed in this world. Since you all know that the purpose of creation was that Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence should be revealed here in this world. And that's the meaning of Bayoyim Ahu Vahaya Hashem Lamelech Al Kol Haaretz, Bayoyim Ahu Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, Vahaya Hashem Lamelech Al Kol Haaretz. That Hashem's Malchus will be revealed in this world. Hashem's Malchus being revealed in this world is that quality of Shechina, which is Melech, which is Malchus, which is Eretz, which is the earth. So it's hinted at in this pasuk. It says in this pasuk, V'ha'aretz lo temarchil etzmisos. Then on a deeper level it means that somehow the divine presence of Hashem, the Malchus, the kingdom of Hashem, will not forever be sold, will not forever be in the hands of our enemies. Ki li kol ha'aretz. That's what he means. Hainu Eretz, the second line on the left column. Hainu Eretz hayidua hakedosha ha'elyona. It's referring to, it's hinting to the deeper Eretz. That's the quality of the Shechina of Malchus. Like Tamorach, let's meet the Chas Hashem li'as ki li ha'aretz. V'gam ki li ha'aretz. Hashem says, the earth belongs to me. As that ultimately the Malchus, the kingdom, will be returned and there'll be this reunion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina and the Jewish people. Hashem will never abandon his nation because of his name. So the Torah gives the reason. The Torah explains that the earth, meaning that the Shechina will not forever be abandoned. The Malchus, the kingdom of Hashem, will not forever be separated from his divine essence, from who Hashem is. And the Jewish people will not forever be in a state of galus. And the Torah goes on to explain, Ki geirim v'seishavim atem imadi, because you are strangers and dwellers with me. Hainu, atem imi, Ratzalaymer, kivyochel, anachnu shneinu heima bebchinas geirim v'seishavim. It's a very beautiful thing. The Rebbe says, When it says in the Torah, ki gerim v'say shavim atam imodi, that you are strangers and dwellers with me. So the Rebbe says, the meaning of this is that Hashem and the Jewish people are the same. That kivyachal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also a ger and a toshav. Hashem is also a stranger in this world, and a toshav and a dweller in the world. And the Jewish people are also strangers and dwellers in the world. That's what it means. Kivyachal anachnu shneinu hema b'chines gerim b'say shavim. Kekadosh Baruch Hu toshav kol almen. Because Hashem is the dweller of all worlds. Hashem dwells within all worlds. He is the toshav kol almen. Hu bara kol almen. He created all worlds, or mamali kol almen, and fills all worlds. Relays also upon the minay, and there is no place in the world, in all the universe, that is empty of His presence. Hashem is the dweller of existence. He created the world, and He exists in every single cell and every atom. Because Baruch was there, so Hashem, in that respect, is a toshav, is a toshav. He's a dweller in the universe. The gamhu nikra kivyochel bechinas ger v'olam hazeh. The kivyochel Hashem is also a stranger in this world. He's a ger in this world. Ki kol ha shivim umais la rotsu la kabel alem al malchusay v'adnusay v'tarosay mitzvaysay. The next page. Or you can probably turn it over. It's probably on the other side. Yeah. Why is Hashem a stranger in this world? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, and He came to give mitzvahs to the rest of the nations, so He was sent away. He wasn't accepted. Hashem Baruch was rejected. Ki manachnu b'nei Yisrael am kodosh adas Hashem b'nei kelchai. Only the Jewish people, the holy nation, Hashem's children, b'nei kelchai, we were the only ones that accepted Kadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. Otherwise Hashem was pushed away like a stranger who comes into a place and no one wants to take the stranger in. So kivyachal Hashem calls Himself a ger. V'gam b'nei Yisrael hem b'chinas toshav. It's the same thing with the Jewish people. That we also have this status of being toshavim, dwellers. What does that mean? Ki Yisrael olu b'machshava t'chila lihi baros. Because the whole purpose of creation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceived of the Jewish people and created the world for the sake of the Jewish people. So just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of creation and fills all worlds and there isn't a place that's empty of Him, so too the Jewish people are the purpose of creation and this purpose fills all of creation. But the whole world was created for Klal Yisrael. We are the true Teshuvah. We are the truest dwellers. We are citizens in the entire universe. Why are we citizens in the entire universe? Because the entire universe was created for us. This whole thing about Jews having to have green cards and passports is a joke. Because the world exists for Klal Yisrael. The Munkatra passport, right? The world exists for Klal Yisrael. So, Ki li kol ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the world, Eretz Yisrael is not going to be sold forever. Which means, in a deeper level, we're talking about that the Shechina and Hashem is not going to be separated forever. Mashiach is going to come, and there's a chizik for the Jewish people in Golas and exile. Ki li kol ha'aretz, and then Hashem says, Ki geir v'slay shav ma'atim imog. And I want you to know, Hashem says, that you could trust me. Because if you look at things, you'll see that we're mamish the same, Hashem says. We're both gerim and toshavim. Hashem says, I am a toshav, I am a permanent dweller. Hashem lives and fills all worlds. At the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Himself as a stranger in this world. Because right now in Golas, Hashem is strange. Hashem is a stranger. One of the guys was telling me yesterday in the place that we visited, which won't be named on this tape, one of the guys told me, one of our cherva, Shimon Yanke, was telling me that one day he just felt like saying Tehillim. So he went into the Beis Medrash, he was saying Tehillim. Sounds like it's okay, no? Anything wrong with that? Saying Tehillim and Shul? So some guy went in there, like in between classes or something, to put down his bags and to, I don't know what. And he started making fun of Shimon Yaakov. What are you doing? What are you saying to me? Are you crazy? So Shimon Yaakov knows how to answer. He said, what are you telling me? I'm crazy for saying, tell him you're crazy. Why am I crazy for saying, tell him in shul, you're crazy. You're crazy that you don't. See, in this world, and this is what's sad. The sad thing is there was a Jewish kid that told him that, you understand. But how much more so, Alchas Kama V'Chama Kal V'Chomer, Ben Benosha Kal V'Chomer, in the eyes of the world, to be a Jew that lives according to the Torah's mom is strange. Right? It's a strange thing. So Hashem says that I'm an alien, I'm a stranger in the world. Even though it's so bizarre, it's so ironic, because the whole purpose, Hashem fills all creation, and yet He describes Himself as being a stranger. Hashem says, I am the one who dwells in all worlds, but at the same time, I am unwelcomed by all worlds. Or at least this physical world. Hashem has not yet been welcomed in this world. So Hashem's an alien, He's a stranger. If you look at Yerushalayim, you look at the Har HaBayis, which was the place in this world where Hashem had His bayis, He had His house. And in that place of the Har HaBayis, you have to look up and see what? What's on the Har HaBayis? The mosque. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I dwell in all the world. I fill everything in the world. You know, I'm a stranger in the world. And Hashem says, and you too, you're like me. Because the Jewish people are Teshavim in the world. Because the whole world was created for the Jewish people. Therefore, we are citizens of the entire universe. Because the entire universe exists only because of the Jewish people. That's what the Rebbe is saying. The third line. All the higher worlds and lower worlds are settled only because of the Jewish people being in this world. Or else there wouldn't be angels in the world above, and there wouldn't be human beings in the world below. So even though in truth, we have the status of Teshavim, we have the status of permanent citizens, just like Hashem, but also we suffer from the same thing. Because the Jewish people are the Shekhinah. The Jewish people are the embodiment of the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah, Hashem's divine presence, is suffering in this world in the state of being a ger. Even though Mitzad, in that aspect of Hashem and His essence of Kutcher Brichu, He's a Toshav, He's a permanent dweller. He's the essence of all creation. But as Hashem is manifested and is revealed in this world, He's revealed as a stranger. So the Jewish people, in their essence, are Teshavim. In their essence, the Jewish people also fill all worlds. Mamish. But in this world, in the Eretz, in this lower earthly world, where there's this separation between the Shekhinah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between Malchus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem Yisbarach, in this world, the Jewish people are Gerim Ben Ha'umais. Strangers among the nations. That doesn't have to be explained, no? Yeah, everybody understands why we're strangers among the nations. The only ones who we can be attached to in this world are Hashem. So the only thing that we have hold of in this world, the only one who understands us and takes us in, the only one we have a shaykhus to is the Shekhinah HaKadosh Hashem. But in the eyes of the world, the Jewish people are gay or mamish. We were always called wanderers. We were always called strangers. Wherever we went, anywhere in Golis, we were accused of not belonging, of not being loyal, of not being faithful to those governments, right? Wherever we were. And even Eretz Yisrael. Even Eretz Yisrael, there's never been a time where people don't say it doesn't belong to us. So Eretz Yisrael, you would think, is the one place in the world where Jews can dwell. You would say that Eretz Yisrael is the one place in the world where you're a Toshav. The answer is no. Marasa Machpela, no. Kever Rochel, you know, when I was at Kever Rochel 2 weeks ago, when you come there by Kever Rochel, you look down the road. Where is exactly the Israeli soldiers are there? This is the agreement in the meantime. So we'll see what happens after elections. You have Israeli soldiers at Kever Rochel, a lot of them, but you look down the road from Kever Rochel and you see the Palestinian police. Down the street, that's where the Palestinian police are allowed to be. Down the road. So you would think that by Kever Rochel, Jews would be allowed to be Toshavim. You would think that on the Harabayis, a Jew could be a Toshav. You would think that on the Marasa Machpela, a Jew could be a Toshav. No. In this world, even in the place of Malchus Hashem, Golus has created a situation where we are mamish geirim, strangers. So what's the only hope for the Jewish people to be redeemed? He said the only hope is b'chol eretz achuzaschem. That means the land of our attachment or inheritance. There will be redemption to the earth. So that means that eretz again means the Shechina. So the Rebbe is saying that what will bring redemption when the Jewish people in Galus realize that they're only geirim, that they're strangers, and the only achiza, the only grip or grasp of anything that they can have in this world is with Hashem, is with the Shechina. That's what it means. Ubechol eretz achuzaschem, geula titnu la'aretz. Hayno ayde eretz achuzaschem, kshaatem ne'achozim udvukim achuzah kadisha. When the Jewish people become achuzim, ne'achozim, to be attached to the eretz, to the malchus of Hashem, ayde zeh geula titnu la'aretz, that will bring redemption to the world. That will bring redemption to the earth. That will bring redemption to the Shechina, which is called eretz. Hayno lechol ha'aretz asher, tachas memshalas so'amim b'sarem, teitziu, v'olim yipiyem. Then we will be able to take away from the goyim, take away from our enemies, that which belongs to us. Ba'oz geulas olam tiyalehem yismucho shamayim v'sogel ha'aretz. And then the heavens will rejoice and the earth will rejoice. Those are the letters of Hashem's name. You see, yismucho shamayim yud hei, v'sogel ha'aretz is vav hei. From hemi amenu kein hirotz amen v'havein. It's a story that there was a Rebbe, the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe was the great-great-grandfather of the Satmar Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So Moshe from Yismach Moshe, he was an extraordinary genius in learning, and he hadn't yet come close to the Chassidim. He was thinking about going to his Chassidus. He was interested in it because he was learning a lot of Kabbalah and so on. He was excited by it, but there was one thing that was bothering him, and because of this, this Machmoshe couldn't bring himself to come to Chassidus. Couldn't bring himself to Chassidus. What was bothering him? It bothered him that the Chassidim always seemed to be besimcha. That they're always like dancing and they were having, you know, drinking and having, you know, soothers and like, you know, living it up. I mean, but simchas amitzas, but they were, you know, they were having a lot of mesibas parties and dancing and and Yismach Moshe was very, very disturbed by this. Since sof kol sof, the Jewish people are in galus and we are in a degraded, humiliated state, and the Shechina of Hashem is degraded and humiliated. So bothered the Yismach Moshe, how could the Chassidim be in such simcha all the time? So of course, have they forgotten the Golus? Have they forgotten the Shechina? What are they doing? So he didn't discuss this with anybody, but it bothered him. It bothered him, and because of that, he was holding back from going to Chassidus. So the story is that he finally got up the courage, and he decided he was going to see the Chazer from Lublin. And he was going to ask the Chayzer. He was going to ask the Chayzer, like, what's with the Chassidim? But everybody knows that when he came to the Chayzer, he didn't have to ask anything. Because he was called, why was he called the Chayzer? He was called the Chayzer because he saw everything. So when he walked into the Chayzer said to him right away, I want to tell you a story. He says to the Yismach Moshe, young man, I know what's bothering you, I want to tell you something. So the Chayzer said, at one time, there was a king who went out hunting with many of his ministers, because a king doesn't go alone. So he went with many of his ministers, he went out hunting. And it happened that there was an unbelievable storm. Mamish, a crazy, crazy storm. And everybody went running for cover and this, and it was crazy. The kids, they all became separated. The king was left by himself. There wasn't one who remained loyal to the king. Everybody ran for cover. You know, they went, it was like thunder and lightning, who knows what, hail. Everybody ran for cover and they left him. They left the king for dead. So the Maisa was that this king was wandering from place to place, you know, in the forest, going here, look, all over, he got lost. He was looking for a village, for somebody. And he looked terrible, filthy and dirty, and his clothing was torn. Finally, he chanced upon some village, and he knocks on a door, and somebody answers the door and says, listen, I'm the king. Maybe you could help me out. So you know, of course, everybody laughs at you, know. You're the fifth beggar we had today that said he's the king, right? You know. So he's going from place to place. I'm telling you, I'm the king. You don't believe I'm the king. So whatever. They shut the door, and they didn't open it. When they looked in, this filthy, smelly guy, they just shut the door. So finally, the king didn't know what to do. He thought he was going to die. He was freezing, and he was hungry. So he went walking. So the Chayzer tells Yismach Moshe, so he was walking, and finally, somewhere in the middle, you know, in the middle of nowhere, he saw a little house. He knocks on the door. The man opens the door, and he's about to shut the door also, but he stops for a second, and he looks at the king. And he says, Your Majesty. And the king was so happy to see him. This was a childhood friend of the king's. This man was someone that the king was a child. He used to play together, they were friends. And the king says, whatever his name. And they hug each other, and the man takes him in and says, please, Your Majesty, come in. And they come there into this little house. And he brings the king, takes off the clothing, brings him a warm blanket and some hot coffee or something, and sits him by the fire. And he starts to cry. The friend starts to cry. So the king says, my friend, why are you crying? He says, Your Majesty, I can't tell you how happy I am to see you. I can't tell you how happy I am to see you, but how sad it is for me to see you in such a degraded state. But how happy I am to see you. So the Chayzer from Blin told Yismach Moshe, listen, the Jewish people, it says in the Zohar, have on one side of the heart crying, the other side of the heart is laughing. Why? Because on the one hand, to be in this galus now and to see Hashem is such disgrace that the world mamish mocks and ridicules holiness. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a state of disgrace, it's like seeing the king in filthy clothing and all starving. So for that a Jew has to cry. And for that we have Tisha B'Av and Shavuos Betambuz and other things that cause us to cry. In Bechlal, we cry. But on the other hand, look at the Simcha. The Chayzer said, look at the Simcha. That of the whole world, we're the only ones who are privileged to take in the king during his time of disgrace. Do you understand the story? We're the only ones who take in the king. We're the only ones who recognize him. We're his childhood friend. So the whole world shuts the door in Hashem's face. So it's true that Hashem is disgraced and humiliated in this world. It's true. But Sof Kol Sof, we took him in. With us, he's a Toshav. In the whole world, Hashem is a ger. He's a stranger and he's rejected. But by Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mamish a Toshav, he lives with us. And we took him in. So the Jewish people at the same time are laughing and crying. Crying because of how could this have befallen Hashem that he's lost in such mamas and such filth and disgrace in this world. But the joy of realizing that out of the whole world, we're the only ones who took him in. So that's what the Chayzer told the Yismach Moshe. And after that, the Yismach Moshe never left the Chayzer. That was it. The Chayzer turned him around completely. Became the Yismach Moshe. And that talk is the story about the Munkacha passport that you all know. Because the story of the Munkacha, the Munkacha passport, from the Bedichavis passport, and then from the Munkacha's passport, it tells you that if a Jew is attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest way, in the emes and truth, there is such a thing that a person can be a dweller everywhere in the world. There is such a thing that a person can be a dweller everywhere in the world. They say, I heard this after my father when I was a kid, that the Munkacha's grandfather, Reb Shloimeh LeMunkacha, his grandfather, that the Mukesh's grandfather, they say, used to be in 3 or 4 places at the same time. He used to be giving a shiur in 2 different places. He was also sleeping, and the gabbai was standing outside. And someplace else, there'd be some galach, some priest who was making trouble for the Jews, and the Shlomo Lukash came to give him a smack. And they had many mice like that, that they start to scream that they're going to arrest the rabbi, and then they would go running. And the rabbi was, they said, what are you talking about? The rabbi's giving a shiur 80 miles from here. And the rabbi's house, you know, is 200 miles from here. He'd be in different places at the same time. It's a known thing about the chassidim, that Shlomo Lukash had such a kayach to be in different places at the same time. It's not possible. It's impossible. Only if you have the Baruch Shalom's passport. If you have a green card from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could be every place at the same time. You could be every place at the same time. If we don't understand such a thing, you should have the Baruch Shalom's passport. I was telling one of the guys the other night. I was coming on the plane. You know, when you're going over New York City and you see the immensity of the city. I mean, how big New York is. You know, at night you see all the lights. So I mentioned to one of the guys then, we were on the plane. See, when you're high up in the sky and you look down, it looks so pretty. You know, it looks so beautiful. I was thinking maybe we're hovering over Bedford-Stuyvesant or something. You know. At night, you know, you're going from far away, it looks so beautiful, but the closer you get, it's no good, you know? The closer you get, it gets worse. So I was thinking, you know, how, it's amazing how the world is. Down, when it comes to New York City or Tokyo or London or Paris, and this world is so big, but as you get higher up and close to Hashem, it goes like this. It's like a triangle. The bottom of the triangle is here in this world, like New York City is so huge. And as you go closer to Shemayim, to Ruchnis, to the source of things, then what? It gets smaller and smaller. And in Shemayim, New York City is like a little flea. But the Yerushalayim is just the opposite. In this world, Yerushalayim is small. B'nai Brak is small. Tveri, Tzvas are tiny. But in the higher world, it's like an upside down triangle, you understand? Svas, Tveri, Yerushalayim, in Shemayim are like this, and then when it comes into this world, it comes to a tiny little point. Just the opposite. Because in the world above, it's known who is a Toshav, who is a permanent dweller. And in this world, the Jewish people are Geirim. That's why the Jewish people suffer in this world. You know what's the saddest thing? When you see a Jew who's only a ger in this world, who lives in Golis as a temporary dweller, but he's trying to become, he lives as a stranger, but he wants to become a permanent dweller. You know what I'm talking about? When Jews want to dress like Goyim, talk like Goyim, they want to become attached to the ways of the Goyim. So you know how many Jews have lost touch with Yiddishkeit because they're trying all the time to become permanent dwellers in this world. And they can't. As long as Hashem is a ger, we're ger. To become a permanent dweller here, we can't. Not until Mashiach comes. But to feel perfectly comfortable. To feel perfectly comfortable. So there are Jews that said, look, in order for me to feel comfortable, I have to put on they wear earrings, so we're earrings. They act this way, so we'll act the same way. To become Teshav. That's why it says in Tehillim, Hafach Haslibam Lisna Yisamai, that Hashem, one of the greatest kindnesses that Hashem does for us in a bizarre way is that He causes the Goyim to despise us. Because you know what happens when the Goyim despise us? You see, the Goyim, not all Goyim, I'm not saying, but the Goyim despise even Jews that wear an earring and even Jews that don't wear tzitzis, you know that? When the Germans came, they didn't just take Jews who wore tzitzis. So sometimes a Jew forgets that he's a ger in this world. Sometimes he forgets that he's a stranger and he's becoming too comfortable here. And then Hashem has ways of reminding us that we're only ger. As long as he's a ger in this world, we're also ger. Now the next piece, turn the next page, is from B'chul Kaisai. I wanted to do a little bit from each parasha. Now in parasha B'chul Kaisai, so the pasuk says, V'lnaflu ha'veichel v'fneichem l'charev. Hashem says that if we keep the mitzvahs and so on, then our enemies will fall before us by the sword. They will fall before us by the sword. So that's good. So the Rebbe asks, Teivas lacharev humiyutar. He says, the word lacharev, how are they going to die? That's extra. What's the difference? You die with by spears, by hand grenades, by atom bombs. It says, means that your enemies will be destroyed. Your enemies will fall before you. What's with lacharev? By the sword. What difference does it make? They die by the sword. They die by the sword. Why? There's not one extra word in the Torah. Why does the Torah say they'll die by the sword? Renir lefarish. Listen to this now. He there says, "Mam is a big thing. Real big chiddush here." Renir lefarish. The shayrish hadavro who the loy mikri neisu pela rak bepam rishon. Should be on the other side. You have it. So on the other side, turn it over. Hadavar is the first word. So Rebbe says, it seems that the only time that something is a nes and is a wondrous thing, it's only the first time. When Hashem does something which is unnatural, which is supernatural, either He does it alone, splitting the sea, and so on. Or a miracle takes place. It's the other side of the page that says, or a miracle takes place to a Navi or through a Tzaddik. So the Nes is only the first time. The Nes is only the first time that thing happens. Zenikubam is Nes Upela. That's a Nes. That's a wonder. By the second time, as Yuchalia Zehadavar Benokel, then it could happen on a much easier. It could happen then once a nace has opened up, once a miracle has taken place, then it could take place a second time. The first time is a wonder, it's a nace, it's amazing. The second time it could happen, it's already not so miraculous and not so wondrous, and such a thing could happen for an individual person or for the Jewish people of Bechlau. Kikfar niftach hashar, what does that mean? Because the gate was already opened. Kikra niftach hashar. V'hamakor, and the source, mi'esed dover v'pamarishin. Because the gate and the source of that already was opened the first time. V'alpizet tovim ha'ashem etzinu v'pkidas ha'korish ha'ter ha'kadosh ha'kosva v'ha'ashem pokad ha'sara. So you know that the first of our mothers, Sari Menu, she was barren, she couldn't have children. She wasn't capable of bearing children. So Hashem said, Hashem pokad esara kasher dibe, that Hashem gave her the ability to conceive. So she conceived a child. And it's a big deal in the Torah. In the Torah, when Sari Menu conceived the child, I said she was older maybe than Rivka, but the bottom line is that by Rivka, by Rachel was also a wondrous thing. Now it was also a nice. But when you look in the Torah, by Sari Menu, it was like a big thing. Tzroika soli lukim kolashomei tzachikli. Then the whole world is laughing and saying, what is this, unbelievable? Like everybody's going crazy, they can't believe it. So sorry, made it. But then once you get to Rivka and Rachel, it sounds like, oh, they couldn't have children, and they had a child, okay, let's go. Yalla. You know, happens. So the Rebbe says, the fact that Sari Meni was able to have a child is really a great miracle. And afterwards you see that there are other barren women that were able to have children. And they're not looked upon in the Torah as being a miracle. Rivki Meni was barren and she was able to bear a child because Hashem listened to the tefillos of her husband Yitzchak. Rachel Meni was also barren. And she was also able to conceive, but it doesn't seem to be a miracle in the Torah. V'chein Chana, Eishes Elkanah, the mother of Shmuel Navi, Chana, Haisakar v'nifkada. V'kemoichein Matzina b'kriyas Yamsuf. And we see this also with the splitting of the sea. Shonu Aymim Shira al Neiz Godel Kazeh. That we sing this Shira, we sing Oz Yashu, make a whole big deal about the splitting of the sea. That's an amazing thing. It's the most amazing miracle we have. Shvishal Pesach. Everybody's going crazy talking about the Kriyas Yamsuf and singing songs and the whole thing. And afterwards we see that Yeshua did the same thing. And it doesn't seem to be such a big deal. We don't have any Shira. We don't have any songs. We don't have any Yontivs, right? Yeshua took the Jewish people through the Yarden. Rabbi Pichas ben Yor, Gab ben Nahar Ginoi, and the Gemara Chulin says that Rabbi Pichas ben Yor, when he was on his way to ransom, to free some Jewish prisoners, that he was being delayed, and he told the river Ginoi, the Nahar Ginoi, to open, to split, and the river of that, and the waters of that river split for Rabbi Pichas ben Yor. It seems like, okay, you know, it happens. People walk through rivers. What do you mean? That's a great miracle. On the Mesherish Adavar, who calls Manchle, Niftach Hashar, Mizeh Adavar, Kamei Pekidus Akaris Chadoyme, Azlav Kol Adam Zerchah, Sheyipos Kholoi Hashar, Sheyiftu Kholoi Hashar Zeh. So the Rebbe says the meaning of this is that until that gate has been opened, such as barren women, and from where does it come into the world that barren women can conceive? It comes from Sari Menu. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Sari Menu the ability to conceive, then other barren women can already conceive, and it's not Bemis and Ace. Even though to us it's a miracle. But Bemis it can already be, because that gate was already open, that place was already opened. So he says, I'm sure it's a Kozman Shalim Tarashar Mizadovic and Pkiv Zakor's Khadima, as love Kalodam Zoicha, Shiv Tukhalay Sharza. I mean, not every person can be worthy to open the gate. To open the gate, you have to be amazing. To have the gate opened, you have to be worthy. Ach Avrom Avinu Ol Vesholem Begodl Tzikosiv Avosel Hashem Yisbarach La'ein Shir Gvul Zoche Lahaneis Godel Kazeh. So Avrom Avinu and Tzari Menu, who are great, great tzaddikim, they were Zoicha that gate should be opened. Uposach le Hashemizbarach Zashar v'nifkida ishto, and that his wife conceived. The Kevin shekrapol Avram pam echad b'sichas Zashar v'tzina halazeh. Once Avram Avinu has already brought about the opening of the gate, the opening of this tzinu, of this pipe, as benokel yuchlo haderes haboy ma'achrov la'ayra oisei neis la'eisi yitzdaruch la'aklal afilo ishprati. Then it's much, much easier once that place has been opened, it's much, much easier throughout history in any generation for the Jewish people in general or for an individual Jew like Rabbi Pichas ben Yor who need to cross through the river. It's much easier then to bring about that nes, because the gate, the shahr of that gate, of that nes has already been opened. So how did Yamsuf split? It needed the great schus of Moshe Rabbeinu and the entire Jewish people to split. That's what the Yamsuf needed. But then once Yeshua later on took the Jews to the Yarden, it was no longer considered such a great miracle. And when Rabbi Pichas ben Yor went through the Ginai, the river, the Nahar Ginai, it was no longer considered to be a great miracle because the Pesach was already made, the opening was made. V'chein Rabbi Pichas ben Yor. Now listen, this is an amazing thing here. It's an amazing thing. So he says, Nimtza comes out. That when the tzaddik davens to Hashem, that his enemy should be destroyed. When the tzaddik davens that his enemy should be destroyed. And Hashem hears the tefillah of the tzaddik and avenged and takes revenge from the enemies of the tzaddik. Then that action that the revenge is taken against the enemies of the tzaddik, that doesn't only work and help b'shas ma'is at that time. Rak shahanefila shemapil Hashem's baruch hasayinim. The fact that Hashem has destroyed the enemy for the tzaddik. Nasa kecherev l'doire doros. What does that mean? Nasa kecherev l'doire doros. What does that mean? That itself becomes like a sword for generation and generation afterwards. In other words, the fact that Paro and Mitzrayim were destroyed, the fact that Haman and Amalek was destroyed, that act of destruction, of those acts of destruction, are all that followed, let's say, Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Paro... That's why everything is Zechus Yisrael. What do you mean Zechus Yisrael? Because all good that we have all come to us from the gate that was opened by what? By Yetzias Mitzrayim. And all the ability that we have to defeat our enemies and to take revenge, it all comes from the revenge of the Jewish people by Mitzrayim. So everything is Takah Zechus Yisrael. That's all the Koyach comes from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge one time, then that becomes like a sword from generation to generation. Whenever that's necessary for the Jewish people as a whole, or for an individual Jewish person, then it's easy to awaken that first destruction, that first nefilah. That in every generation, so it comes out that first nefila, that first destruction, is really poel shtei pu'ulas. It really has two pu'ulas. It fulfills two actions, has two results. B'shazu at that time v'achakech l'daris. For that time, and then later on. That's why in the bracha we say she'os anisin la'avoseinu b'yom ma'heim l'zman hazeh. It means in those days and in our times. But Yom Mahaim Bizman Hazeh. Vizesh Oma Davar Amalek Ol V'Sholom V'Cherev Pifiyos B'Yodam. You say that in davening every day. You know where? What do you say? Ramamos Kel B'Gronam V'Cherev Pifiyos B'Yodam. Lassos Nekomu V'Goyim V'Teichechos Balumim Lesom Echei Mizikim Nechmedeim Echavler Baza Lassos V'Mishpokos Hodul Chol Chassidim Haluka. So what does that mean? It means Ramamos Kelber Gronim, the praises of Hashem in our mouths, V'Cherev Pifiyos B'Yodam, and the double-edged sword is in our hands to take revenge against our enemies. What's a double-edged sword? Those are dangerous, right? Regular swords are dangerous, but double-edged has both edges, both sides are sharpened. So what's a double-edged sword? So the Rebbe explains that that's the deeper meaning of a double-edged sword. Cherev pifiyos biyodam. But Zalomer, sheyesh l'cherev shtei pios. The cherev has two blades. Hainu shahareges shnei pa'amim. It kills twice. You understand what it means? When Hashem takes revenge against the enemy, it kills twice. It kills the original enemy, and it's the opening of that shire, of that gate, to take revenge against all the enemies of the Jewish people in the future, who can awaken that original nes. That's what it means. It's a double-edged sword. Hain the shayreges shnei pam. V'zesh arma akosuv, and that's the meaning of this pasuk. But that's what's hinted at in this pasuk. V'noflu oyveichem lefneichem. V'tzalomer oysa hanefila shiplu asanim yu etzlechem lecherev. V'noflu oyveichem lefneichem means that when your enemies will fall before you, that's back at the original nes, the original miracle, that your enemies will fall before you, and that destruction of the enemies that they fell before you will be lecharev. That's why it says lecharev. Will be a sword for when? For the future. Will act as a sword for the future. In other words, the very destruction of the enemies is a cherev. That's why the pasuk says, v'nof lo'evech v'fnechem lecharev. It's not telling you how they died. They died by the sword. Sometimes they died by the sword. They died by face. It's telling you that this is the second edge. That the very fact that they were once destroyed as a cherev is itself a sword to destroy them in the future, all those who rise up against the Jewish people. It's a beautiful pshat, yeah? It's a beautiful pshat. It's not a pshat, it's a hint. Hanshem chol eis. Sheyetzel lochem yisaneichem. Whenever we have difficulties from our enemies, us... we can awaken the first nes of Hashem that He destroyed our enemies. And that original destruction of the enemies will be like a sword. And then you could destroy them now also, the enemies. Okay, and here it's not mate. Sounds like the Abderav wanted to grab a sword and go out and do something himself, no? Okay, and here it's not mate.
They felt strongly about these things that we do today because back then they had programs and stuff. So we don't really understand.
Listen, we can understand if you think, you know, sometimes you feel like you're sitting here in America. We're sitting here, and we're so helpless. When you hear things going on out to Israel and things that are happening for Jews and other places, and you feel so helpless, there's nothing you can do. It's not true. If you believe that every single thing that happens now for the Jewish people is something that is descending from an original opening that was made, so then by awakening the Rachman, by davening, and by awakening Hashem's compassion, and by speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and by the earlier miracles that took place for the Jewish people. Maybe that's why when we daven Shemin Esrei, we begin Shemin Esrei by saying, Zecher Chaz De'Avos, that Hashem remembers the forefathers, right? Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Because why all this nostalgia? You know, when we're davening, all these things about what it used to be in the old days and so on, why all the nostalgia? So the Teretz could be, but the Rebbe is saying here is that the Ovis, we have to understand that the Ovis made all these openings for us. Our job now is like to already, you know, we already have the openings were already made. The openings were already made. So once the openings were made, then it's already much easier to do something. You know, the question is who's going to start things rolling? So the Lemaisa, things already were started. That's why when people ask, how could it be that our generation should be worthy of Mashiach? How could it be we should have Mashiach if the Baal Shem Tov didn't, Rashi and the Ramban, the Vilna Gaon and all the Tzaddikim, they didn't have Mashiach, so how could it be our generation will have Mashiach? Terence is right, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, we're midges on the shoulders of giants. In other words, these were all things that were already done for us, these were all open. We just have a tiny little bit more to do. Whatever that is. But all these openings were already made. All of these openings were already made. You know, for us now, if you think about it, it's an amazing thing. Our ancestors, unless they were sitting and learning in yeshiva, they didn't have access to Torah on a deep level. Now, if you want to learn Gemara, anybody can buy an art school Gemara, you can learn Gemara. If you want to look at Svarim, you can buy Mishnais, you can buy Tanakhs, you can do everything in English. It used to be, years ago, that there were very, very few people. There were very few people that had any Shaykhs to Torah. Only Talmid Chacham had a Shaykhs to Torah. They were great scholars, but the simple Jews had no Shaykhs to Torah. No shaykhs. Simple people didn't know anything. But now look, everybody could take a safe look. All of these things were opened because of the tzaddikim and our ancestors, they were struggling to learn some Torah. And you should know that anytime that you contend with something and you overcome the Yetzahara, you're making an opening also for one of your children, a grandchildren, a great grandchildren. It's a true thing. If there's anything miraculous that you do in your life, that you work hard to overcome a certain problem and you fix. So you should know that you're fixing that for a child and a grandchild and a great-grandchild because you made that Pesach, you made that Shar. That's the miracle, that's the Nes. That's why I always say that I see the Baruch Hashem by our students, by many, many, many of the students over the years, they became Shomer Mitzvahs, how they were zeichet to have beautiful children. I don't just mean beautiful, that they're attractive, you know, nice-looking kids. But I mean they're zeichet to have beautiful children. You see, Bechlal, that by people who struggled hard, to make that Pesach, to make that Shar, that once the Pesach was made, then ready for it goes in an easier way. That by the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, I mean, I didn't see it, I don't have any great-grandstudents yet. Grandstudents I have, not great-grandstudents, not yet. But to be able to bring to the world such neshamas after making a Pesach and a Shar. Because that person, if you grow up in a home that's not religious, there was no Pesach, there was no opening to be from. There was no opening to be Shomer Mitzvah. So if you became Shomer Mitzvah, it's because you made an opening. You know, if you become an observant, God-fearing Jew, you made that opening. That's a miracle. With that, you had unbelievable help from Hashem to make such an opening. But once it's made already, then the children, grandchildren, Yallah. Mechnasim. Everybody comes. You take him in, you pull him in. You make the Pesach. I'm not singing niggins for a long time. Singing niggins.